How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well over three quarters of Christians, I would estimate, are observing it. It lasts a month or more. It's actually quite a bit more than a month, and it leads up to a time that everybody acknowledges in one form or another is a holiday, whether it's Easter bunnies and eggs or whether it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The season of Lent, how has the media done in covering the season of Lent? Not only as a religious holiday, it's also something of, well, nowadays, a cultural phenomenon. You could find as many pieces about the lifestyle of Lent as you can about its religious aspects. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 10th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us for the first few minutes of the program to talk about media coverage of the season of Lent. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. We'll be in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 50, as we do every week with him, looking for Christ in the Old Testament. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
A feature on Lent, does it belong in the religion section of the paper or the lifestyle section?
Don't you mean the cooking section? I think the best answer to your question is that different stories deserve to be in different places, because like any religious tradition that really touches on all aspects of life, it's going to touch on things from food to actual spiritual issues and spiritual questions. And if people are actually observing Lent as it was practiced by, you know, the early church and on in through the centuries, through the millennia, it's going to affect all aspects of life. And so you can't stick it in any one place. But the kind of the humor behind your question, though, essentially you're asking what I asked in a post the other day at Get Religion, which is there more to Lent than food?
So how do you judge this season? We are nearing the end of the observation of Lent, but how do you judge this season so far? How the media has done the obligatory, here's our Lent piece?
Well, yeah, and this year they all came at the beginning. And this year's fad seemed to be more and more people are doing some version of Lent. And that was the kind of do-it-yourself Lent story. And that had to do with, of course, the focus is on what did you give up for Lent, which is really intriguing because a couple of years ago, I went searching for the origins of this whole give up one thing for Lent deal and could not find them anywhere. The so-called tradition of giving up one thing for Lent does not exist anywhere in Christian tradition. I assumed you could, when in doubt, you can always blame things on the Anglicans, but it turns out that it wasn't even the Anglicans that came up with that compromise version. the best I could tell is that it's what happened is that in the days before Vatican II, a lot of Catholics, of course, did not expect their children to fast. And so for children, they came up with this idea of giving up one thing for Lent. It also could be a variation on a serious Lenten concept, which is the fact that in addition to the regular parts of the Lenten season and discipline, a Christian may take on one extra thing, whether it's in Bible study, whether it's in extra worship services, whether it's in working at a food bank, you know, whether it's staying up an extra hour a night late for more prayer, that this person would come up with some extra mile they're willing to go during Lent in addition to the regular parts. The problem, of course, is that the vast majority of people no longer seem to have any idea what the regular parts used to be. And this extends to the press, which essentially has reduced Lent to giving up one thing and the fact that there seem to be a growing number of Catholics who are returning to eating fish on Friday instead of meat. And that's led to some stories. Now, the fact that there might be other people observing Lent and that there might be Catholics and Eastern Orthodox and others who are celebrating a more stringent form of Lent, that doesn't seem to be on anybody's radar screen in a newsroom.
So then we get the stories about restaurants tailoring their menus for the month of Lent, so to speak.
Right. And I think that's interesting, and that's even fun, and I'm not opposed to that. What I'm opposed to is thinking that that is all there is to Lent, without seemingly any awareness of any other aspects of this, of the primary penitential season in the Christian tradition.
One of the things that I think is often missing from Lent is a clear explanation of what Christian repentance or penitence has been historically, how it's changed, how it's tied into the disciplines. That's the, kind of the term of art among us Lutherans, the disciplines of Lent. Do you find any of that?
Yeah. In fact, this year, in the last couple of years, I've been surprised that the press has actually been handed an easy story to cover on this. And I say easy in the sense that the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference has actually come up with a campaign called "We'll Leave the Light On for You," and the light meaning the light being on in the confession booth for people to come to confession. So penitence is not just a part of the season. It actually, for Catholics, I believe it's still in canon law, they are supposed to go to confession during the season of Lent. I know in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, it's stressed that we should go at least once in every major season of the year, which gives you a minimum of 3 or 4 times you should go to confession. And some people, of course, go more. But this Leave the Light On campaign has given broadcast outlets and newspapers and wire services a very easy chance to admit, hey, there's something else going on in Lent. And that is, you know, for Catholics' confession, for the Orthodox confession, a question back to you as a Lutheran. In a tradition that does not have an articulated, a visible sacrament of reconciliation, have you heard any good sermons from Protestants on what that penance would look like?
Yeah, well, we don't have penance. We do have confession and absolution, variously viewed as either a sacrament, but certainly as a means of grace. Yes, I mean, I think the tendency does turn that direction in Lutheran preaching toward Lent. In fact, I think I would say that, at least in terms of sermons, I think I have.
Oh, okay. Good to hear. I think that's an aspect of Protestant life that, you know, it's been left kind of at the it's between you and God level alone, when for the ancient church there was more to that in terms of how that was acted out and how that was lived. I was very disappointed not to see more coverage of this Catholic campaign, because I can't think of a single issue in modern Catholicism that is more important than the almost disappearance of the role of confession in the cycle of the sacraments and the living of the sacraments in the Catholic Church? I mean, I've seen statistics that as few as 4% of American Catholics go to confession at all. And that's a very interesting and disturbing trend. And even if it's 4% among the 20% of Catholics who are going to Mass on a regular basis, that still means that, you know, 75% even of those Catholics are unplugged from the understanding that you're supposed to go to the altar having, you know, seriously considered and repented your sins on some kind of fairly regular basis.
I got to ask in that vein, and it actually happened at the beginning of Lent, and it was, you probably saw this footage or saw the story there that Pope Francis stunned everyone.
Yeah.
He actually went to an ordinary priest there, and before he began to hear confessions, as he does traditionally for the season of Lent leading up to Good Friday, he himself publicly, the press there, and there were people waiting to hear for him to hear their confession. He went to an ordinary priest to make confession.
Yeah, that was a very interesting moment in the video, in that I don't think it was planned. They were walking forward, and the person accompanying him motioned toward the confession booth that they expected the Pope to fill for an hour or so, hour or two, and he gestured in that direction, and Francis just kept on going and went over to the very next booth there in St. Peter's and knelt down in clear view. Now, of course, it's very much understood that popes in the past have had their own spiritual fathers and have had their own regular confessors. Francis, in one occasion, kind of made a rather controversial statement about one of his previous confessors, in that there was a man who had been his spiritual father for so long that at the funeral, Francis said that he literally reached into the coffin and took his spiritual father's rosary, and that he now carries that with him at all times. It's just a link to that man who was his previous confessor and previous spiritual father. So it's not a big deal that the Pope went to confession. It's a big deal symbolically that he did so publicly, and clearly that has to be seen as some sort of a investment in his part in a call to ordinary Catholics to simply say, hey, this is what this looks like. This is what we do.
What I didn't see, and I didn't see all the coverage, obviously, but what I did not see in the coverage is a tie between that symbolic gesture, certainly not a gesture, it wasn't a photo op, a sincere man, but that symbolic public act there and the onset of Lent. I didn't see that in the coverage.
Well, it was in Lent. It happened actually during the framework of Lent. It was not right at the beginning. It occurred just a couple of weeks ago in the middle of Lent. So, I mean, it was definitely seen as a part of the season of Great Lent.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the season of Lent on this Thursday afternoon, April the 10th. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. When we come back, how should the media cover Lent next time around? Stay tuned.
Christianity has so much influenced our culture that we take it for granted and think it was always that way.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you move into one of the Mideastern countries where primarily the theology of Islam operates, you can see the influence of what Christianity has had in our culture. Yet we tend not really quite to, how shall I say, realize it and appreciate it. And once in a while, we need to be reminded.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case for Christianity's positive impact on civilization June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is called Making the Case for Christianity. It includes regular guests from Issues Etc. as some of its authors. One of the chapters here has to do with the scandal of Christian particularity. That's what we're running up against here when we talk about the nexus of Lent with culture with Terry Mattingly. You have a Christian observation that has a tendency to find its way into the culture in some sometimes trivial ways, but it doesn't really scratch at what Christians are really doing and observing during a season of Lent. That has more to do with that Christian particularity. You'll read about it in the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about media coverage of the season of Lent. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Terry, if we can lay aside all of the issues of food and diet and Lent menus and things like that, what should the media do next time around in covering the season of Lent?
Well, I mean, we've just talked about it. I think the big, statistically big trend is this issue of Roman Catholics and confession. And then you would link that to the state of confession among the Orthodox. There are still, we're only a generation or two or three away from time when Anglicans used to go to confession. So I think it would be very interesting to know if people are adopting Lent, if people are taking on Lent, so to speak. I think it'd be interesting to ask the American people what they think the season is about, kind of the confusion over Lent, and what they do with the penance part, what they do with almsgiving, what they do with the other crucial aspects of the season. I think it would be perfectly fair if the press turned the mirror around and not just talked about Catholics and confession, but actually asked the question of whether the Orthodox are still practicing this sacrament to the degree that is, you know, in our own tradition. And like I said, you could also ask that question to the Anglicans, ask that question to Lutherans, as you said. I'd be very interested in knowing the results of that.
Well, this is what I'm curious about, and I wonder what your thoughts are. And it's a broader subject, but maybe Lent is the occasion to visit it, even for the media, if they're savvy enough to actually look in and ask the question. To me, it looks as though in Roman Catholicism in America, in the various other traditions in America, certainly in my own, it's been underway for about 30 years, and even in generic Protestantism, there's kind of people growing weary with generic Christianity, with kind of Christianity that has very little to say, very little to do, things like that, and they are returning to some people might say tradition. Our Lutheran perspective would be, you know, we tell people to go to confession because it's in our confessions that we have private confession and absolution. We don't regard ourselves as Protestant in that sense. We regard ourselves as deeply sacramental. But this move back to what I would call the heart of the church, which is the sacraments, which are the traditions of the church. Do you think that the increased popularity of Lent is just a reflection of something even more profound that may be going on?
Well, I think that you should say that there are two different levels of Lent becoming more popular. I think on one level, I think there are people who are simply saying, hey, I don't want to be just a Protestant anymore who goes to my megachurch, whatever. I think we're going to, quote, do Lent, unquote, which at some point that becomes a kind of what do I want to create as my own version of Lent, which frankly strikes me as a rather Protestant thing to do, and I hope that doesn't sound terribly judgmental. What you're talking about is that there is a small but significant group of people, perhaps among the people who are most active in their own traditions, that are finally saying about a number of parts of the cycle of the Christian year, didn't there used to be something real here? What was it? Can we dig deeper and find it? I'm not willing to continue with kind of a shopping mall approach to the faith. I want to know where the substance used to be, and can we get it back? I think we see this for some people during the Christmas and Advent season. You have a genuine yearning for, like, didn't there used to be something real here? I mean, didn't there used to be something more than what you could get a TV for, you know, at a shopping mall at midnight? I mean, what used to be the real season? And I think there is a small but significant number of people that are on that search. The larger story there, though, is what I see is a growing gap that we see in the polls between a kind of Americanized shopping mall approach to Christian faith and other faiths probably, versus the small number of Americans who are in their churches more than once a week. They are there all the time. They're trying to find out what the traditions are, what the roots are, and they want to be plugged into it. They want more than a surface-level approach to faith. Now, I don't know how you cover that story, but Lent would be the best time to pursue it, because in actual, real, live Christian faith, there is nothing bigger than midnight going into Easter or Pascha in terms of the symbolism and the reality of the Christian faith. You've got to find some way to get that written about and get it in the paper.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much.
Very glad to do it again.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Now, this is an odd chapter of the book of Isaiah. It begins with God asking for a divorce certificate. Now, how are we going to find Jesus in there? We do it every week with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament. And we'll see how it goes with Isaiah chapter 50 on the other side of the break. I invite your questions or comments for the last half hour of the program as we look at Isaiah chapter 50 and find Christ in the Old Testament. 1-877-623-MYIE or send us an email, talkback@issuesztc.org. Stay tuned.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity.